Heidi Xers and radio enthusiasts, welcome to the February 2000 Market Scope. As you may recall from last month, we're down in Huntsville, Alabama with Tim Hendel, working our way up the AM dial. Tim has the old AM tuner warmed up as we check our next station. Tim?
We're now going to move up the dial to 1140 WBXR. And I say WBXR, I think that second letter is Bravo, but I'm not quite sure if it might be Delta. WBXR has an interesting facility. Their offices are in Fayetteville, Tennessee, their studios in Park City, Tennessee, and their transmitter in Hazel Green, Alabama. Interesting to have studios in one state and transmitter in the other. Hazel Green is a small town, perhaps 10 miles north of Huntsville, and I suspect that their directional pattern might be beaming southward. For one thing, that would protect WRVA in Richmond, and for another, their signal is very strong here in Huntsville. They do have 15 kilowatts, a rather unusual power. Also, I DX'd this station one time just as they were signing off while I lived in South Florida, so that again makes me think that maybe their directional pattern beams south. They are a daytimer. They are a Christian format station. They carry a few of the standard conservative Christian talk shows like Point of View and Focus on the Family. Quite a bit of music programming as well. Today, while I was collecting IDs, I was very surprised to hear a half hour's worth of Brother Stair, something I had not heard on the station before. Those of you who listen to shortwave certainly know about Brother Stair. Since there's not much local programming on WBXR, I'm going to confine this sample to a couple of breaks and a sign-off.
WBXR, 1140, Huntsville, Hazel Green.
Reaching the world from Augusta, Georgia, it's time again for the Voice of Covenant with Bishop Jim Dutton, the senior pastor of New Covenant Christian Center.
Turn our hearts toward home.
Northside Auto Salvage reminds everyone that each year, thousands of innocent children are being physically and mentally abused. Their only hope for protection is through caring adults. This message courtesy of Northside Auto Salvage, now under new management in Huntsville, where service is more than a word. It's the most important part of Steve's business. Trust their years of experience and expertise to handle all of your auto salvage needs. Call 536-7892 for Northside Auto Salvage. They care about you.
By only one vote, the Alabama House just passed a bill legalizing video and casino gambling. It's an addiction Alabama can't afford. Paid for by the Alabama Coalition Against Gambling Expansion, 500 Adams Avenue, Montgomery, 36104.
Parents, beware. Most cases of child molesting go unreported. This message is sponsored by some very special friends of the community. They're on the air because they care.
WBXR, 1140, Huntsville, Hazel Green.
Hello, this is Naomi Rose. You are tuned in to the Truth, Light, and Life broadcast with my dad, Evangelist Daniel Rose.
Thank you for listening to another broadcast day on Christian Radio 1140. WBXR. Please tell your friends about us. At this time, we must leave the air until tomorrow morning in accordance with the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C. WBXR is owned and operated by the New England Communications Incorporated, based in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Studios are located at 231 South in Park City, Tennessee, with transmitter and tower location at 710 Butter and Egg Road in Hazel Green, Alabama. WBXR serves the North Alabama and South Central Tennessee area. We strive to bring you the best in public community service and Christian radio programming. Please join us again tomorrow morning, and thank you for listening today. Christian Radio, 1140, WBXR, Hazel Green, Huntsville, Fayetteville.
There you have WBXR. They didn't telescope down the national anthem, I did. But they did end the national anthem and then go on with that other music for, I would say about a minute before they signed off. Also, I don't know why New England Communications is in Spartanburg, South Carolina, And yes, the road weather transmitter really is called Butter and Egg Road, a fairly prominent road in the Hazel Green area. And finally, I don't know what that high-pitched sound was during some of this presentation of WBXR. That high-pitched tone was theirs, not mine. And now we move on to Huntsville's first radio station, WBHP. As far as I know, it has always had those call letters, but I doubt that it has always been on its current frequency, which is 1230, because as some of you know, there were some major frequency realignments and reassignments in the 1930s and 40s. Anyway, WBHP began broadcasting in 1937, and I even found it mentioned in a book about historic Huntsville. It operates on 1230, as I said, and right now the format is CNN Headline News. However, WBHP's had a lot of different formats. According to the book which I just mentioned, WBHP used to be kind of an all-things-to-all-people radio station. They used to have local personalities and DJs who would play records and do things like the glass booth or the make-believe ballroom, such as many stations did, particularly in the 1940s. And I think they made a stab at playing some rock and roll, especially in the afternoons for the teenagers during the 50s and 60s, and had farm programming in the morning and that kind of thing. When I first moved to Huntsville, they were country, and about 2 years ago they went to CNN. They simulcast with WHOS in Decatur, Alabama, on 800, a station I didn't feature, except on Sunday mornings. On Sunday mornings, WBHP plays Southern Gospel. Well, WHOS also plays Southern Gospel, but they don't broadcast together. All the rest of the time, even the IDs are simulcast, and even if you're listening to the 800 station, you hear more promos for 1230.
Checking the latest developments in the Kosovo crisis this morning. Sources tell CNN fresh fighting has broken out at the Yugoslav-Albanian border.
For over 60 years, your award-winning news source in the Tennessee Valley. 800 WHOS Decatur and 1230 WBHP Huntsville. Depend on it.
1230 closed captioning is provided by CompuServe 2000.
NATO keeps up the pressure on Yugoslavia with another round of airstrikes. Mixed signals in Belgrade about the prospects for the release of three U.S. soldiers held by the Yugoslav government.
Oh my goodness. All right, Josh and Jess, both of you, go downstairs now because I don't know if it's coming this way or not.
And spring storms turn violent in the Midwest.
What a sad commentary on Huntsville's first radio station, that all they can do is broadcast television news, and then they execute so poorly. Well, now we move up to another so-called graveyard channel, 1450. 1450 is WTKI, another talk station in Huntsville, and they take a lot of the syndicated talk shows that WVNN doesn't want, mostly of a more conservative nature, such as Michael Reagan, the Black Avenger, I think his name is Ken Hamlin or something like that, and Judy something or other, I have forgotten her last name. As you can see, folks, I'm not a big talk show listener. I believe they have some kind of sports talk overnight, although not the ESPN that WUMP has. They also carry a lot of local sports, including Huntsville Stars, AA Southern League Baseball, and I think they carry some college football as well. And in addition, they do have a local news and talk show early in the morning. So this is a little bit what WTKI sounds like.
And we'll take a quick break on the Bohannon Show. We'll be back after some news on the hour here at Westwood One.
WTKI is your home in Huntsville for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Saturday, we will broadcast the Alabama-Mississippi State baseball game from Starkville. Airtime is 3:55. They'll throw the first pitch at 4 o'clock. Now, if the game is not completed at 6:20, we'll have to go to Huntsville Stars baseball at 6:20, but we will keep you updated with the final score. Either way, 2 hours and 20 minutes of Bama baseball Saturday afternoon, brought to you by Campbell Oil Company, your local Texaco convenience store. By Alabama Live, your home on the internet. By Cousins Car Wash and Deli. By Dempsey's Pawn and Gun. By You Save Auto and Van Rent. Ray Perry Insurance, both locations of Terry's Pizza. And your friends at Bob Wallace Appliance. That's Alabama and Mississippi State at 3:55 Saturday afternoon, taking you up to Stars baseball time at 6:20 on 1450 WTKI.
Hi, I'm Jay Hoyle.
And I'm Luis Garcia.
We're financial advisors with Prudential Securities here in Huntsville.
If your money matters to you, then join us for Money Matters, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, from 4 till 5 each afternoon. We've expanded our show to serve you better.
Don't forget, make sure to listen to Jay Hoyle and Luis Garcia for Money Matters, weekdays 4 till 5, right after Dave Ramsey on News Talk 1450 WTKI.
Exclusive home of the Alabama Crimson Tide, AM 1450 WTKI Huntsville.
I'm Bob Hart. It's an emotional roller coaster ride for the families of those three American soldiers being held as prisoners of war in Yugoslavia.
Call now for your 60-day risk-free trial. Call 1-800-814-9029. Lose weight or your money back. Call 1-800-814-9029. That's 1-800-814-9029. Again, 1-800-814-9029.
I just had to show you that because they said that number four times. Just how stupid do they think we are?
Pitch on the way to Alfano, swung on, ground ball past the shortstop into left field. That's a base hit for Alfano. Trotting home is Elliott, and the Stars on the board. First hit of the year for Alfano, RBI number one, and it's a 3-1 ball game. Jacobson stops at second base, and this will bring up Jose Lobaton. Bruner again from the stretch. The pitch on the way to Lobaton. Swung on, lined into right field. That's a base hit. Evans is going to wave Jacobson home. Here he comes down towards the plate. Sliding in. Safe! RBI single. Lobaton. And brain freezing at second is Alfano. He's in a rundown. And Alfano is going to get tagged out, and I don't know what happened there. Alfano started, it seemed, to walk towards third base. And Darrell Evans is going out to find out. What happened there? For the Stars, they pick up two runs on three hits, no errors. They leave a man aboard. We go to the bottom of the second. It is Jacksonville 3, the Stars 2 on the Huntsville Stars Baseball Network.
There's nothing better than a tall drink of cool, refreshing Crystal Mountain Natural Spring Water.
Come by Hungry Howie's, the home of the original flavored crust pizzas, and try one of their great daily specials. On Monday, you can get a large one-topping pizza for just $5.99.
So make sure you tune in. But the Stars, 13-11 winners over the Suns. Channel Cats winners last night. They'll move on to the next round in the hockey playoffs. So congratulations to the Huntsville Channel Cats and their victory last night over the Macon Whoopee. 7:35 in about 10 minutes. We'll have the Veterans Report as we do each Saturday morning in the golf program with on the tee with Floyd Parks coming up at 8 this morning right here on News Talk 1450 WTKI.
In front of him, and he had a decent running game.
That's why we remain the sports leader in Huntsville. Your home for the Stars and the Tide. 1450 WTKI.
Let Southern Sports take you out to the old ball game. Hello, this is Tom Boyette with a special invitation for you and your family to travel on one of our luxury motor coaches to see the hot Atlanta Braves take on the St. Louis Cardinals and Mark McGuire at Turner Field on May the 3rd. The Southern Sports package includes transportation, tickets, complimentary snacks and refreshments, and peanuts and Cracker Jacks. Travel with the Southern Sports team and forget the hassles of driving and parking at the big games. For information, call toll-free at 1-888-988-4341. Let Southern Sports handle all the details for your next civic, church, or corporate group outing to a Braves game. The May schedule features the Braves and Cubs May 22nd and 23rd, and the Dodgers May 30th, and a full lineup of Braves games this summer. Southern Sports at 1-888-988-4341, your entertainment connection for sports. Call today and receive a free Braves, NASCAR, and 1999 college football schedules at 1-888-988-4341. Southern Sports, your entertainment connection.
The following program is a public affairs feature of News Talk 1450, WTKI.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Clow, your Veterans Service Officer for Huntsville and Madison County. Welcome to the latest edition of the Veterans Column of the Air. This program is prepared especially for veterans and their dependents by the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs, brought to you as a public service of this radio station. This is an update on Veterans Affairs news. Business and occupational license exemptions are available for certain disabled veterans. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you love your freedom, take a little time out and say thank you to a veteran. And I'll see you again next time.
The preceding program has been a public affairs feature of News Talk 1450, WTKI, Huntsville.
We've completely destroyed two of the three major Army headquarters.
Those little late come-ups on the news are theirs, not mine, and I've left them in on purpose so you could see how WTKI executes. Still and all, with glitches and everything, that's a talk station with a lot more local and community content than some of them that you hear, isn't it? I've never heard a talk station anywhere with a program especially for veterans.
That wraps up another month of Market Scope. As you can guess, we will finish up the AMs next month with some great stations, such as WEUP, and find out whatever happened to WAAY. For the DX Audio Service, I'm Phil Wayne. See you on the next cassette. And now, as you might expect, here's musings of the members.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, I have quite a bit this time, too. Affinity Broadcasting is, I think, going to buy about six radio stations in the southwestern Ontario corridor, three of them in Sarnia, CHOK 1070, and the two FM outlets down there, CFCO Chatham, and CKNX Wingham, and CHYR Leamington are on their list. I don't know what the other one might be. I also hear there may be a frequency swap in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, between 1200 and 1280, and I picked up a station on 1590, WARV, Warwick, Rhode Island. That's quite a ways away from here, and I think just a very small station. Also, WTVB, Coldwater, Michigan, has been coming back quite a bit the last few days, and I hadn't heard them in this area since the 50s. I thought those were quite some catches, and I got one in Jacksonville, North Carolina, on 1580 one day not long ago. I think it was WSJM, 990 in Rochester, New York. They're now WLGZ, Legends Radio. They've been religious for a couple of years under different call letters. Also, 820 CHAM, Ontario's best country, in Hamilton, Ontario, is trying for FM. 94 point something is what they're trying to get. I think this station in Rochester is something on the order of what Star 98 in Dayton, Ohio is doing. About Wednesday before Christmas, on 1420, Mankato, Minnesota, about 10 o'clock that morning. I have not listened to that station or thought about it since back in the early 60s when they used to play country music all night. Also, on 1590, I have been receiving a Spanish language station coming in certain days, and so is a friend of mine in Hamilton, not very far away, who is quite a DXer, but we've never heard an ID on it. So if anyone has an idea or knows what that is, would you please put it on one of the future tapes?
Hi, Fred. This is Pat Cassidy. I'm happy to be back on the DX Audio Service. I have three things I'd like to talk on briefly. Number one, you remember the article that was read about radio stations having so many commercials? Well, I think I've got the solution. Take a station in any market that's not doing very well in the ratings, and why not put the commercials on that station? All commercials for the different stations in that market could be on that one station. And so much time could be designated to different stations so much every day. And some people say, well, nobody would listen, but people do listen for ads every now and then, and this would free the other stations to do what they do best, play more music and more talk. Number two, if anyone in the Baltimore area is in this service, I would like to know if they've ever heard WWIN or WITH off the air during the day. And if you have, I'd like to know what would have been heard on 1230 or 1400. One more thought. I wonder if it would be possible when a member leaves the audio service or returns or a new member joins the audio service, if their name could be mentioned on the tapes. It would just be nice to know who's around and who's left, and maybe if we know the person that left, we could kind of get them back to come in again. It's just a thought. I would like to hear your opinion on that.
Greetings, audio service members. Marty Rimpaugh here on the second day of January 2000. And KFRE, which used to be Hot Talk at 940 in Fresno, California, is now Radio Unica. I don't know exactly when they made the change. I assume it was sometime either this morning at midnight or possibly before. But I got home from a little excursion, and I heard Spanish on 940, and lo and behold, it was Radio Unica. So if Fresno doesn't have enough Spanish radio stations on AM as is, there's one more, KFRE 940.
Hi, this is Russell Fry in Indianapolis, Indiana. And about a week ago, the two country stations that are in the Indianapolis area, who happen to be owned by the same company, by the way, fired their morning team, Jim, Denny, Kevin, and Bill, that was doing the morning show on the 50,000-watt country station WFMS, and brought the morning team from their smaller station, 93.9 The Bear, over to WFMS. And they did keep Jim Denny, but Bill Wyatt and Kevin Freeman are no longer there. And so it's now Jim Denny, a guy who calls himself Trapper John, and Deborah Honeycutt that are doing the morning show on WFMS, and they are simulcasting that morning show now on 93.9 The Bear from 5 to 9. So the morning team that used to be on The Bear, just a little 6,000-watt suburban station owned by Susquehanna, is now the morning team on both that station and WFMS at 95.5, owned by Susquehanna, and they really don't do any promos for The Bear at all, and they just talk about WFMS since it is the stronger station. And then at 9 o'clock, The Bear then separates off and continues on with their young country type format. And I also noticed 1480 out of Terre Haute, it was on last month's tape, was changing to WPFR. Well, as of December 31st, WTHI AM, which was on that frequency, has signed off, and I would assume that WPFR will be coming on sometime in the near future. But as of January 1st, there was nothing on that frequency.
Greetings, audio service members. Marty Rimpaugh here on the 14th of January, and there is a new radio station testing at 1200. I may have mentioned this in an earlier audio service about a year ago, but KOQI at 1200 is now on the air testing. I don't know exactly what format they will be going to, but I understand the man's plan is he is a former chief engineer, and apparently what he wants to do is get the station up and running and sell it. So right now they're just playing country CDs, and they're 25,000 watts in the day, non-directional, and I'm not sure what their power is at night.
Hello, my fellow DXers. This is Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, I've been getting quite a bit of good reception. WSEP, Sandy Creek, New York, 1070, I picked up on a Monday night, and some of the best country music I have ever heard, which is a fervent love of mine anyway. And 940 in Greenville, Pennsylvania, WGRP, has recently made a partial change to their format. They're taking some country music from an FM station at 101.7, and it gets into here very well during the day. Also, I've sometimes lately been picking up 1560, WTOD it used to be, in Toledo, Ohio. They're plugged into an FM station, too, and I think they're just a daytimer. Also, there's a situation in Niagara Falls, New York, 70 miles from here. WJJL 1440 is now 24 hours a day, and they recently had a fire last month, and there were about two announcers in the station at the time when they ran for their lives, but luckily everything was saved, and they're moving their operation to Buffalo. Also, I don't know, somebody should have covered 1660 and 1680 when they were doing the X-Band. There's a station in Kalamazoo, Michigan, sports station on 1660, and there's one in Ada, Michigan on 1680 that has kind of the hip-hop format. I want to mention a station on 750 that I'm getting some days. It's a religious station, and I haven't been able to get an ID on it. I think it's only a daytimer. Somebody told me it might be in Pennsylvania, so one of you DXers may know what I'm talking about, and if so, please put this on a future tape so that I can hear it.
And that's our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And to answer our question concerning mentioning members' names, I kind of go 50-50 on that. And let me explain my thinking, and perhaps you can send a fax or email, sit down and write me a letter or a card, and or just give me a call here in the evening when I'm working in the studio and chat with me about it and let me know what your thoughts are. On one side of the coin, I think it would be nice to mention new members' names as they come aboard and also acknowledge the folks who are rejoining the DX Audio service. And God knows there's a lot of folks that have been with us for a long, long time. And I would venture to guess there's probably maybe five or six who have been with us since the very first magazine. I'll get into this a little bit later. So it would be nice to acknowledge the people who are coming aboard. On the other side of the coin, there is two issues. One is the fact that by the time we got done mentioning all the names of the people who are subscribing for the first time, renewing their subscription, or leaving the DX Audio service, it would take a lot of time, and I don't know if I want to take that away from the meat of the magazine, so to speak. But the other issue is privacy, and it's something that is kind of a pet peeve with me. So I can understand that some folks do not like their names mentioned for one reason or another. And there's a lot of people who subscribe to the DX Audio service who don't contribute anything, don't ever send in anything other than a payment. They just get the magazine, and hey, that's fine. If you want a magazine, then by all means, that's what you should do. If you want to contribute, then contribute. But I don't think we should mention their name unless they really want it mentioned. And especially in the context of folks who are in the entertainment and broadcasting business, who probably would be a little uncomfortable if they were to have their name tossed out without their permission. So I'll leave it up to the membership to kind of mull that over and give me your thoughts. And speaking of old members, if you've been with us for a long, long time, if you were one of the first that subscribed to the magazine back in April of 1985, why not give us a call on the Action Line and just let us know about yourself and maybe some thoughts about how the DX Audio service has changed over the years, perhaps your thoughts on the industry, new technologies that are coming out, how the Internet may or may not affect the DXing hobby. Just give us a call and let us know about what is happening with you.
Give us your thoughts about what's happening in your area. Call the Musings line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day.
Listen up to the DX Audio service.
Hi, I'm Blaine Thompson with this month's CPC calendar. I've been keeping the post office busy, sent out about 40 letters soliciting DX tests in the past month. I did receive a few back with better addresses and got a rejection or two. I also got some good news. So here's the calendar. WMAL 6:30 a.m. in Washington, D.C. will conduct a DX test from 1 a.m. until 1:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, January 30th. The test will consist of Morse code IDs inserted into regular programming at the top of the hour. Chief Engineer John Butler says the station will be running When Radio Was, a classic anthology of radio shows. Reception reports may be sent to Mr. John Butler at 4400 Jennifer Street, that's Jennifer, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20015. You may also email your reception report to John at john.c.butler@abc.com. This DX test was arranged by Lynn Hollerman for the IRCA CPC. Also testing on January 30th is WILM 1450 AM, Wilmington, Delaware. No details have emerged in terms of programming from Alan Ludell. Reception reports, however, may be sent to Mr. Ludell, that's L-O-U-D-E-L-L, at 1215 North French Street, Wilmington, Delaware, 19801-3213. Alan arranged this test himself for the NRC. Finally, WIMA, 1150 AM, Lima, Ohio, will conduct a DX test early Monday morning, February the 21st, at 1 a.m. Eastern Time. WIMA will be broadcasting 1,000 watts, non-directional. Programming will consist of test tones, NRSC 2 tones, Morse code IDs, and the ever-popular Ohio State University march music. Reception reports may be sent to Mark Gearhart, that's G-I-E-R-H-A-R-T, Chief Engineer at WIMA Radio, 667 West Market Street, Lima, Ohio, 45801. This test was arranged by Fred Vobey for the NRC. As always, we're looking for donations. If you'd like to send stamps, money for supplies, or ideas for stations for me to target, you may do so at, my name is Blaine Thompson, B-L-A-I-N-E, Post Office Box 15762, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 46885-5762. Till next month, live from the stations of WoWo Radio, Fort Wayne, Indiana, I'm Blaine Thompson.
W-O-W-O.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
The Federal Communications Commission has approved a new non-commercial low-power FM radio service. The Federal Communications Commission voted on January the 20th to create a class of radio stations designed to serve very localized communities or underrepresented groups within communities by authorizing two new classes of non-commercial low-power FM radio stations, otherwise known as LPFM. In authorizing the new services, number one, the LP100 service with a power of 50 to 100 watts and a service radius of about 3.5 miles, and number two, the LP10 service with a power of 1 to 10 watts and a service radius of about 1 to 2 miles, the Commission said it is adopting interference protection requirements based on distance separation between stations to preserve the integrity and the technical excellence of existing FM service and to not impede the ability of existing radio stations to transition to digital transmission capabilities. The Federal Communications Commission said that the new service would enhance community-oriented radio broadcasting. Broad interest in LPFM service was demonstrated by the thousands of comments received from state and local government entities, religious groups, students, labor unions, community organizations, musicians, and others supporting the introduction of a new LPFM service. The Commission said that to prevent interference, it will impose station separation requirements between new LPFM and existing radio stations on co-channel, first and second adjacent channels, and the intermediate frequency or IF channels, but will not impose third adjacent separation requirements because the engineering data and tests in the proceeding demonstrated that 100-watt LPFM services will not cause any unacceptable levels of interference to existing radio stations separated by three channels. Applicants for new or modified LP100 or LP10 facilities will be required to meet the minimum station separation distances to protect the service contours of 1. The authorized non-commercial and commercial FM stations in all classes, 2. Existing FM translator and booster stations and any LP100 stations, and 3. Full-service FM, FM translator, and LP100 facilities proposed in applications filed before a public notice announcing any LPFM application filing window. The Commission said a non-commercial service will be the best way to bring additional diversity to radio broadcasting and serve local community needs in a focused manner with LPFM stations. Eligible licensees can be non-commercial government or private educational organizations, associations or entities, non-profit entities with a educational purpose, or government or non-profit entities providing local public safety or transportation services. The Commission said that to further its goals of diversity and creating opportunities for new voices, no existing broadcaster or other media entity can have any ownership interest or enter into any program or operating agreement with any LPFM station. In addition, to encourage locally originated programming, LPFM stations will be prohibited from operating as translators. To foster local ownership and diversity, during the first 2 years of LPFM license eligibility, licensees will be limited to local entities certifying that they are physically headquartered, has a campus or 75% of their board members residing within 10 miles of the station they seek to operate. During this time, no entity may own more than one LPFM station in any given community. After 2 years from the date of the first application, in order to bring into use whatever low-power stations remain available but unapplied for, applications will be accepted from non-local entities. For the first 2 years, no entity will be permitted to operate more than one LPFM station nationwide. After the second year, eligible entities will be able to own up to 5 stations nationwide, and after 3 years, up to 10 nationwide. LPFM stations will be eligible for 8-year renewable terms. These licenses will not be transferable. Licensees will receive a 4-letter call sign with the letters LP appended. Applications will be accepted in designated filing windows, the first filing window to be open for LP100 stations. After the bulk of these applications have been processed, the Commission will open a filing window for LP10 licenses. The Commission is expecting opportunities to remain for LP10 stations. The Commission will announce in a subsequent public notice a designated 5-day filing window for LP100 applications after the effective date of the LPFM order, which will be 60 days publication of this order in the Federal Register. The Commission said that the filing window system is preferable to a first-come, first-served filing system that could disadvantage potential applicants. Electronic filing is permissible but not mandatory. Mutual exclusive applications for the same license will be resolved by a clear-cut selection process, awarding applicants 1 point each for 1. Certifying an established community presence of at least 2 years prior to the application, 2. Pledging to operate at least 12 hours daily, and 3. Pledging to air at least 8 hours of locally originated programming daily. Time-sharing proposals will be used as a tiebreaker if applicants have the same number of points. Where ties have not been resolved, a group of up to 8 mutually exclusive applicants will be awarded successive license terms of at least 1 year for a total of 8 years. These 8-year licenses will not be renewable. Eligible licensees will be subject to the same character qualifications as are currently applied to full power licensees. The Commission said that entities that had broadcast without a license in the past could apply for LPFM licenses if they certify that, 1, they had voluntarily ceased engaging in unlicensed operations no later than February 26, 1999, without specific direction from the Federal Communications Commission, or 2, that they had ceased engaging in unlicensed operations within 24 hours of being advised by the Commission to do so. Entities who continued illegal broadcasting will be ineligible for any broadcast license. LPFM stations will be required to broadcast a minimum of 36 hours per week, the same requirement imposed on full-power non-commercial educational licenses. They will be subject to statutory rules such as sponsorship identification, political programming, prohibitions from airing obscene or indecent programming, and requirements to provide periodic call sign announcements, and will be required to participate in the National Emergency Alert System. LPFM stations will not be subject to the FCC's main studio rule, ownership report, and public file requirements. The Commission said it expects that the local nature of LPFM service, coupled with the eligibility and selection criteria being adopted, will ensure that LPFM licensees will meet the needs and interests of their communities, and thus LPFM licensees will not be subject to local originating program requirements. Turning from the official side of the press release on LPFM to the person who created it, Bill Kennard, why is he so for LPFM? After all, the likes of Michael Oxley, Republican from Ohio, are doing everything in their power to scuttle and shut up LPFM. Let's find out a little bit more about Bill Kennard in a separate statement he wrote on the creation of a low-power radio service. He writes, and I quote, "When I first became chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, I started to talk to people about radio, and I encountered a lot of frustration on the part of folks who felt like they had ideas on how to put radio to good use, serving their communities, but no way of putting those ideas into action. I heard this from churches and schools, community groups and public safety officials, civic organizations and non-English-speaking communities, from the Haitians in South Florida to the Vietnamese of South Texas. In meeting with these groups, I've been struck by all the different ways they propose to use the airwaves. Some want low-power FM to serve as a forum for discussion on issues relevant to local communities. Some want to provide job training for young people seeking to make a career in broadcasting. Some want to emphasize cultural learning, while others want to offer more formal instruction and training over the air. And some want to keep their communities informed of public safety concerns, including weather and traffic conditions. I've also been struck by the enthusiasm that these groups have had when simply discussing the possibility of a low-power service. Every day, it seems, we read about bigger mergers and more consolidation, all of which leads to the perception that the interest of small groups and individuals are being lost, and that important voices and viewpoints are being shut out. The possibility of opening up available spectrum in the FM band has sparked creativity. And the fact is, there is more room at the table. There is spectrum available for these and other uses. But rather than being able to use the available spectrum to test their ideas in the marketplace, these groups are being shut out, prohibited from serving their communities. Today we recognize the important role of more modest technical facilities and throw open the doors of opportunity to smaller, community-oriented broadcasting. Now, there are those that argue that there is no viable business case for low-power FM, that the economics just don't work, and that the FCC should save low-power broadcasters from themselves. I am not convinced of this because it is not the business of the FCC to pick winners and losers. We should empower consumers to decide what he or she prefers, rather than ruling out some options on our own and depriving the listener of making the choice for himself or herself. That's what faith in the marketplace is all about. Remember, there was a time in this country when AM broadcasters said that FM would never make it. Some argue that the creation of a new FM service means there will be more licensees subject to our broadcasting rules, making enforcement of our rules more difficult and more expensive. I'm skeptical when concerns like administrative expense and convenience are invoked to justify the exclusion of a new competitor in the market. That's like saying that we won't issue more driver's licenses because there are already too many speeders. That would penalize those who have not broken the law, but do nothing to crack down on those who have. The most serious objection to low-power FM, and one that I have studied extensively, is the claim that low-power FM would cause interference to existing radio stations. I have pledged all along that I would not support any proposal that threatens the integrity of existing radio services. I am pleased to say that my support of today's proposal is consistent with that pledge. Protecting the current FM radio service is an obligation that cannot be compromised. In a relative short period of time, the FM band has been transformed from a virtual desert into a vibrant and critical source of news, information, and entertainment in the daily lives of millions of Americans. It needs and deserves our protection. That is why we have invested so much resources into conducting and analyzing technical studies on the issue of low-power FM. I suspect that low-power FM has been subjected to as much testing and engineering as any radio service that we have ever looked at, and we have learned quite a lot. The threat of interference has persuaded us to back away from some elements of the original low-power proposal. For instance, we are limiting low-power FM to 110-watt stations, even though we initially raised the possibility of 1,000-watt stations as well. Likewise, while we consider eliminating both second and third adjacent channel protections, we will be eliminating only the latter while retaining the former. While some studies have suggested the possibility of interference even with the limitations that we have adopted, the flaws underlining these studies seem plain. Some of the studies cited in opposition to a low-power FM service start with the premise that most existing FM radios do not provide adequate reception even today, before the creation of a low-power service. These commenters suggest that we adopt standards that bear no relation to the choices that consumers have repeatedly made in the market, and that we reject reception standards that over one half of a billion radios now in use implicitly endorse. I see no reason for the Federal Communications Commission to invent standards on its own, which consumers have already voted with their dollars to decide on an adequate level of performance. Our fundamental obligation under the law, as codified in Section 1 of the Communications Act, is to, quote, make available a rapid, efficient, nationwide and worldwide wire and radio and communication services, unquote. At the heart of this mandate is the notion of opening up new opportunities in a way that protects the integrity of existing services. Today's order does exactly that, and I'm proud to support it. And those were the words of Bill Kennard, the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission.
You better name it!
Keep your dial on a 6-1, baby. Grant you where the soul's real fine. Big Waves Radio.
Oh, yeah. Play some more music all the way.
Since April of 1985, this is the DX Audio Service, a nonprofit organization devoted to the radio listening hobby.
And that, my friends, is our DX Audio Service for February 2000. For Jerry Starr, John Bowker, Phil Wayne, Bruce Conti, Mark Durnberger, and the many others who have contributed to this edition, I'm Fred Volbe, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. My address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. You can contact me at 419-228-4199 or fax 419-221-1609. If you're on the internet, you can email me at fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. And if you'd like to become a member of the DX Audio Service and live in the United States of America, the cost is $25. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $28. To Mexico and the Caribbean, it's $32. And to Europe and elsewhere, it's $38. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep the cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send it to me at the address I just mentioned. For all the editors and the members, we'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Listen, DX, air check, and support the radio listening hobby.